Hi, namaste, what's up geeks? This is episode 116 of What's Up Geeks, the Desi Tech Podcast. We were off last week and the week before. Well, last week was because of Dashera and the week before was because of the flooding in Hyderabad. But I do apologize for not being able to keep you guys up to speed with the tech world. But Fikar not, we are back and let's catch up with what's been happening. And on other podcasts from Foursquare, Binjon has some Tamil and Telugu picks from one of the greatest Indian filmmakers ever, K. Balachandar. And on Attention Plus, Arnab talks about IPL, the situation in France, and answers my questions on the US elections. So head over to Foursquare.net to know more, subscribe and listen. And now back to What's Up Geeks. And of course, joining us is Vijay. Hi, Vijay.
Hi, everyone.
So, Vijay, I'm sure you must be asking. I did not pick Verma and Neeram Sivappu because all the picks were kind of dark and dreary. I wanted something lighthearted. So, my second pick was Aragon. And for the life of me, I can't remember what my what my first pick was. It was Unnal Mudiyum Thambi / Rudra Veena.
Oh, okay.
So those are my two picks. And Raj, of course, went with really old school. So I think she ended up having Avalur Todarkadai and rather the Telugu version of it. And then the intro of Rajini into the world cinema, which was, I'm blanking out on the name suddenly. Those were our picks, and of course, since it was K. Balachandar, people are highly opinionated, and we've got some rather interesting comments which we will address in the next episode of Binjon. But anyway, this is not Binjon, this is What's Up Geeks, that the Desi Tech Podcast. So let's get started with broken news. And of course, owing to a two-week hiatus, I think the broken news is really broken right now. But some of them are not predictable. So the Pixel 5, which every year it's the same, right? The Pixel comes in and then 2 or 3 weeks later, every year, you hear news of quality issues, either some screen issues. This time, apparently, there are some people are having tiniest gaps between the screen and the phone. Have you read about this, Vijay?
Yeah, I did see some reports about that. But again, I think, I mean, to be fair, they are, you know, just a handful of people who have faced those issues. And of course, I mean, those people tend to be very vocal on social media. I don't think we can pass a judgment on the quality of the Pixel 5 based on those, but it's not, I think it has been proven that Google has a lot of stuff to do on the quality control side. It's not unheard of that things pop up every time they launch a new device. So it's been happening on a regular basis, and I think Google needs to. I think the main problem I find is that it's not that the issues come up, but what they do to address those issues is where I feel Google needs to pay attention, because I know that if you go into like Reddit or any other forum, right, you will find people complaining about the issues that they found when they bought a new iPhone. But that does not, that gets fixed promptly by Apple. Like all they need to do is just walk into the local Apple store, show the device, and then they immediately get it either replaced or repaired at no cost. And people walk out a happy person. I mean, and that is something that I think Google has not been able to do. When they are charging the same prices as flagship, you should have a service network where people walk in, show their defective device, and no questions asked, get a replacement, and maybe like, you know, something thrown in extra, some accessory that will basically just to just for the trouble.
That's an excellent point.
Something that Google has not been able to achieve, even though they are charging flagship prices right from day one. And that is where they can actually, they need to tighten their ship.
As if to prove your point, in fact, we don't have this in the show notes, but there is news that people who have bought the latest AirPods Pro, AirPod Pro, and they are facing some kind of hissing noise and stuff. So Apple just says, okay, walk into the nearest Apple store and you're going to get a replacement. But again, to your point where you said that only a handful of people have been experiencing Pixel 5 issues. Well, I'm sure it's just maybe three or four handfuls who have actually bought a Pixel 5. So considering the very low volumes, it's still, I'm guessing, a healthy percentage.
But like I said, it's the what they do in response is what is more than the original issue itself.
And then, of course, in predictable news, continuing along the trend, the new console generation, the new generation consoles, rather, they have released. So Xbox Series X, Xbox Series S, and PlayStation 5 have launched, and promptly they are, of course, sold out. They are not available anywhere, whether it's in the US or in India or anywhere. So as far as I can remember, Vijay, every generation, whenever a console comes out, especially with the Nintendo ones, they're perennially, at least in the launch year, it happens close to Christmas. And they do remind me of the old movie Jingle All the Way. So it's a known model, right? Where the consoles launch before the holidays and they're sold out always.
Yeah, I mean, I think I have not seen a single generation in the recent times that has not had this situation happen. Every time it's like sold out well in advance, and then people, do a lot of black marketing of, these products. And then by, sometime early January or so, you can just simply walk into any electronic store and buy it off the shelf. So it's almost like, that they just, drip feed the market until the holiday season is over, and then flood it suddenly after the holidays are done.
And to Apple's credit, I mean, we have spoken about this before and we have made this point several times, where despite being, selling in millions, they never seem to have stockout problems and they are always happy to take your money. And that's something which somehow no other tech company has been able to do. I mean, Tim Cook, before he was the CEO, when Steve Jobs was still the CEO, if I remember, Tim Cook was the supply chain guy, right?
Yeah, he's the guy who, right from, the original iPhone, he has been one of the key people in establishing their supply chain. So, and it's like such a well-oiled machine now that basically they just don't, it's nothing for them to ramp up or ramp down based on demand. It's like they do it like it's second nature for them.
So we are talking about both about Xbox as well as Apple. So I could go with either one of these other stories, but let's stick with the Xbox. There's just not much to talk about, but the Xbox Game Pass, which is a phenomenal subscription service, which like gives you basically a Netflix of gaming kind of a thing. I pay, close to 800 rupees per month for it. And so it's become even more valuable because starting November, it also includes the EA catalog. And just of this month, I kind of canceled my Game Pass because I ended up buying a few games and I saw EA Cricket also now. And I really feel bad about it. And there are also a few more games which I want to play. But I'll sit it out for a few months. And I'm sure they're going to get me back. But they're adding the entire EA, not the entire EA catalog, but whatever EA allows it. And at for the same price. So Xbox Game Pass subscribers, rejoice.
Yeah. Xbox, anybody who is on the Xbox platform, Game Pass should be a no-brainer for them. Especially if they play a lot of games. I think like in your case, you are not having enough usage of the games to justify that monthly payment. Yes. But if you're a hardcore gamer who likes to check out each and every new game that arrives and play them extensively, then Game Pass is like, just, you should just assume that it's, you're going to go for it.
Absolutely. Now, of course, let's quickly move on to Apple. We were off for the last couple of weeks, but before that, we had Apple. In fact, I couldn't live tweet it, but I was watching the event. We didn't have power, and our basement was flooded at that moment. But I was watching the Apple live event at that as it was happening, and we spoke briefly about it in our previous show. They didn't announce the. Let's talk about what they didn't announce. There was no. What was that? The tags, air tags. There was no Apple Silicon based computers, Macs, which was kind of disappointing. But predictably, they did launch new iPhones. And of course, the most underwhelming thing, we can finish it off, which is the HomePod Mini, which is a smaller version of the HomePod. And is there anything that you really want to talk about that one?
No, I think, I mean, for me, the it was definitely a disappointment that they didn't at least announce. I mean, considering that they said that we would have at least one Apple Silicon based Mac in during this year, I was expecting them to announce it during that event. And I was actually, that was one of the things I was really looking forward to see what the performance is and how it compares with the Intel stuff. So, it's a little disappointing, but again, they are running out of time. Either they are not going to have it this holiday season, or they need to announce another event maybe in the next week or two.
Now that you mention it, if they had to do it, if they had to announce the Apple Silicon, the previous, the iPad and Apple Watch event, which was called High Speed, that would have been the right theme even for the new Macs. But
And that is why when I saw the tagline of High Speed, I actually assumed that that would be one of the highlights of that event. And it turned out that they didn't even mention anything there. And then they didn't do that in the iPhone event as well. So it's a, it leads me to suspect that, you know, they have run into something that makes them wary of launching it right away. So maybe it might be pushed into early next year.
All right. So HomePod, nothing much to talk about. HomePod Mini, rather. Let's talk about the iPhones themselves. The main thing, of course, is that there has been a design change. So it looks more like the iPhone 4 generation, where you have this flat, the flat sides, when it can stand by itself on a flat surface. I actually do. I do like this design, and I'm kind of surprised that nobody else has actually, in the meantime, since Apple stopped that design, no other phone picked it up.
No, I mean, there was one phone which was I think OnePlus X, which launched right after I think iPhone 5 or something, and they had exact same.
It looked like design. An iPhone. You're right. Yes.
Yeah, but after that, people kind of seem to have given up on that design. And now, of course, it will become fashionable. Probably I will expect a handful of Android devices to come out with the same exact design in the next 1 year. But yeah, I love this design. But you know, the way they, I think I saw in one of the reviews, I think probably it was MKBHD, that he said the design seems very modern, which is...
right.
Even it's like a 4-year-old or 5-year-old design, and he felt it was very modern.
Way more, but because the iPhone 4 was launched by Jobs, so
yeah. So it's been almost maybe closer to 7 or 8 years, and it's still. But the thing is, I mean, there's no denying that it looks good. Maybe modern may not be a accurate word for it, but it definitely looks good. I like it, and like I expected. The iPhone 12 has turned out to be the best choice in that thing. And we still haven't seen the iPhone 12 mini, which might also be one of the best options if you like smaller screens. But I think those two, the iPhone 12 mini and the iPhone 12, seem to be the best value for money deals in the current generation of iPhones. And that doesn't seem to be much of a justification for you to, you know, pay like $300-$400 more to get the Pro version.
The Pro versions. Okay, let's talk a bit about what exactly was launched. Of course, we had the iPhone 12, the 12 mini, iPhone 12 Pro and Pro Max. Like we had said, there are going to be four phones and that's what is out. But currently, what has hit the store shelves, what's available to buy both in the US and in India are the iPhone 12 and 12 Pro. The Pro Max as well as the 12 mini, both the lowest end and the highest end, these are still not yet released, correct?
Correct, yeah.
So, what's common between all of this? We have the new Apple A14 chip, A14 yes. Bionic,
and
which was there.
In the... now, for a change, now all the entire lineup has an OLED screen instead yes. of using LCD, which is a great upgrade. I mean, and that is one of the reasons why I feel the justification for the higher end models has become really tough. You're getting the I would say the 12 and 12 mini are like the 4A 5G and the 4A of Pixel.
Right. Exactly. Yes.
You don't really feel the need to upgrade to the higher one where, you know, when most of the good stuff is there in the lower end model.
Absolutely. Yes. So you have the A14 Bionic, which is also there in the iPad Air, which they announced earlier. A new tougher. In fact, they didn't use the word glass. They kept saying ceramic shield. They kind of very consciously avoided using the word glass. Anyway, you have a tougher glass apparently, which is shatter resistant. How much scratch resistance it is left to be seen. Then, like you said, OLED screens and MagSafe, which we will talk about in a bit. Then 12 megapixel ultra wide and wide cameras, dual cameras. And of course, the thing which they just couldn't shut up about, which was 5G. Did you see that video where they just did a compilation of all the times everyone said 5G?
that was hilarious. And it was shocking how many times they actually worked in that term throughout the event. So, that short video itself was, I think, almost like a couple of minutes long.
Yes, so. Exactly. And but to Apple's credit, again, in India, they don't mention the word 5G in any of their ads or promos, obviously, because we don't have 5G and it's not coming anytime soon. So unlike Android, where, you know, let's say they do play up 5G as if we are going to get 5G. Here, these guys don't talk about 5G. They're talking about other stuff. Now, the iPhone 12 mini is 5.4 inch, whereas the normal iPhone 12 is 6.1 inch, which is also the size of the iPhone Pro. So the iPhone 12 and the 12 Pro, both of them are 6.1. The mini is 5.4, which is kind of too small. Maybe just a couple more, 5.6 or something like that would have been much better. And the Pro Max, of course, I forgot how big that is. I think that's 6.7, if I'm not wrong. But talk a bit about the other thing which they spoke about, which was MagSafe.
Yeah, MagSafe, I mean, their take on wireless charging, I mean, their tweak to wireless charging. I like the concept. Although, I mean, it's not like as groundbreaking as they make it out to be. For me, at least, didn't feel like I didn't watch that and go wow or anything. But yeah, it takes away one pain point of, you know, wireless charging where you have to position it in the right way. Otherwise, you don't get optimal charging on your device. But again, it becomes second nature. Like once you use a wireless charging mat for a while, you know which positions work and which don't. And you tend to kind of place it the right way. And many of the, like, you know, if you see the Google Pixel stand, there is only one right way you can place it on the stand. It doesn't leave much room for error there.
Right.
So it will ensure that your charging works either, you know, once you place it on the stand. So
I was
not groundbreaking, but yeah, it does help if you're doing it in the dark or something, yeah, you can just bring it close and you know that it will snap on to that.
Yeah, I was about to say the same thing, because even I use a Pixel stand to charge my iPhone 12, sorry, not 12, my iPhone 11. And I've never had a problem with actually, it's I've put it on the stand, it's not charging. It's probably a problem that probably doesn't exist for most. But you have to think that this is a point which many reviewers have made, that this is just the first step before they remove the Lightning connector itself.
Yeah, that is, I think, the main play. And of course, Apple did not really talk about that aspect of it, which they will not until it's really time to announce it. I think it is more of a one step closer to a portless for iPhone, and which is probably another reason that everybody speculated that instead of moving to, at least on the Pro models, USB-C. Instead of moving to USB-C, they still retained the Lightning, because it's anyway going to go away and not have any ports there. I was not very impressed with that MagSafe wallet case and all that. It just seems like a gimmick more than anything. And Apple, I'm sure, will sell truckloads of that stuff, which I have no doubt about.
Absolutely. And here's the thing, of course, the other controversial thing in the entire thing, in the entire presentation, was that Apple again came up with the courage. Remember when they said the reason they are not including headphone jacks is because they have courage. Yeah. So they found some more courage within themselves to stop giving out cable, to stop giving out the headphones. That is what they call as what pods. These are called
Earpods,
and of course they're not going to give you the charging cable and adapter either. So, and this, of course, the reason behind that is to say that it's for the environment, it's for the greater good. It of course, it's just a sheer coincidence that it's going to help them make more profit.
Yeah, and I think it is also not a coincidence that, you know, the first time, I think, for a while, where the prices of the new generation have actually gone down in comparison to the prices of the older generation.
Have they really, though? I mean, unless you're comparing the Mini with the iPhone 11.
Yeah, I mean, I'm comparing that, but I mean, you're even for the kind of hardware, like, you know, they used to have these compromises, like, you know, the budget models having only right. LCD screens and stuff, but now, for the, you get the same quality OLED panels in every phone. So they had to cut corners somewhere. I mean, they cannot keep giving. I mean, Apple loves their huge margins and they are not going to give that up as a service to their customers and all that. So they have to get that money back somewhere. And this was just a convenient excuse, which, you know, a lot of people cannot even argue, saying that, oh, no, I don't want to do good for the environment and all that. And of course, it has also been debunked by several people that move actually does not really, you know, result in any meaningful, you know, improvement in the green status
for the environment. You did mention Apple loving its bottom line, which we will get to in a minute. But again, this is another point made by several people, was that if Apple really did care about the environment, instead of saying, hey, we love the environment, we love the planet, so we are not going to ship any adapters and earpods, what they should have actually done is say that, hey, you know what, we love the planet, so you know what, instead of, you don't need to have another cable, we are moving the Apple iPhone into USB-C, so you can use your existing wires and, you know,
the dongles. Other option would be that, you know, you include a voucher inside that says, if you really need it, you can still turn it in and get a free cable and charger if you really need. But they didn't do that either.
For obvious reasons. Anyway, you did mention that Apple loves its fat margins, and they seem to be really fat. And because Apple has had a record-breaking quarter, and here we are saying that the economy is bad and, you know, probably it's tough time for everyone, but certainly not for the tech giants. So Apple has had its huge, they reported net income of 12.7 billion. Bear in mind, we're talking about net income. Our net income is 12.7 billion and revenue of 64.7 billion. Beat that. And on to top it off, they had their best quarter ever in India and selling truckloads of iPhone SE as well as iPhone 11s, which had a price drop. And they have for the first time overtaken OnePlus to become the best in the premium segment, which is defined as above 30,000 rupees phones. I have a feeling now once the iPhone 12 mini comes in, we don't know the pricing of that in India, but I feel Apple is set to retain that the premium crown in India.
Yeah, the Apple announcing record-breaking revenues is kind of become a kind of expectation now. But the surprise is that the success they are now starting to have in India. I mean, although I'm not too happy that the thing is India is still, I think, the older models that are kind of
For example, we have, I think, Amazon still has its Great Indian Tamasha or Great Indian Shopping Festival, whatever they call it, and the advertising of course says that iPhones from 26,000 rupees onwards. So I was very curious to find out, is it the lower end iPhone SE? No, it's and it's not even the iPhone 8. The 26,000 rupees iPhone is the iPhone 7, 32 GB version.
Wow.
And I'm sure that they're selling truckloads of it. People must be like, hey, 26,000, I'm getting an iPhone. And people must be buying lots of it. But it's not just Apple, which has had a great quarter. Google, revenues of 40.5 billion and net income of 7 billion, which is again much higher than what was expected. But trump it all, we had Amazon. Amazon announced quarterly revenues that are bigger than those of Microsoft and Google combined. Amazon had revenues of, not profit, revenue of 96.15 billion, which was a gain of 37% over last year. I guess with the COVID situation, more people are ordering from home. And of course, compared to that 96 billion, the profit was just a meager 6.3 billion. Poor people.
Amazon has always said that that they tend to keep investing back in the business.
Yes,
and
yes.
So it's not like it was truly that low. They just chose to turn of that.
Yeah. All three of them beat estimates. And of course, Apple, as we know, is already in 2 trillion. So maybe 3 trillion is next in the horizon for them. And of course, both Amazon and Jeff Bezos have effectively controlled the rest of the earth. So that's where we are. Now, at this moment, let's take a quick break. And when we are back, we are going to do my favorite feature story. Thanks for sticking around. And like I said, my favorite feature story, which all of you regular listeners would know, is Once Upon a Tech. We don't have too much of things to discuss, just a couple of news items from days past, both of which are connected to Microsoft, which is, I think I wouldn't be ashamed to say one of my favorite tech companies. It gets a lot of flack, but yeah. So October 25th, 2001, Microsoft released Windows XP, which was a successor to Windows 2000 and Windows ME, right? At that time, You had two versions of Windows always. One was for the enterprise, one was for the consumer.
Yeah, and that was, XP was the first one where they wanted to unify the two streams of products and just have one thing. One Windows family that was used in both enterprise and home. And XP, I remember. I mean, it was one of the most hyped. After Windows 95, I think that was the biggest hyped product for Microsoft. And it largely lived up to the hype.
The problem with the XP was that not that it was bad. It was just that it overstayed its welcome.
Yeah. Yeah, it stayed around for almost like more than a decade after that. And, I think even it's still there out in the wild, even now.
I see quite a few ATMs and billboards still running XP. So XP released in 2001 and it was not replaced until 2007 when Vista released, which was very poorly received. So in fact, only I guess till Windows 7 released that XP started declining. But even during Vista, XP never went anywhere. And like you said, of course, it did the major job of combining Windows 2000. It was essentially kind of a tweak of Windows 2000, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was basically a reskinned version of Windows 2000. And I mean, now it looks very...
plasticky. Like
cartoony kind of UI. But at that time, I remember being quite impressed with the... It didn't look boring by any stretch of imagination. It was very bright and colorful, and I think kind of attracted people, into that, into buying a new machine for that particular operating system. And I remember that it was also the first time that you basically you had a real stable Windows version on your home computer. Okay. Because before that, it was very typical that, at least more than once a day, you will get the blue screen of death and or something else that froze your computer and you ended up having to reboot. And I think with XP, it kind of became a lot more stable from that point onwards.
True. And of course, needless to say, the consumer version of Windows that it replaced, that is Windows ME Millennium Edition, was hands down one of the worst pieces of crap ever released by Microsoft. I had Windows ME and it used to crash multiple times a day.
I remember buying a new IBM PC when I was in Bangalore at that time, and it came with Windows Millennium Edition, and then I ended up downgrading it to Windows 98 because I couldn't take the how bad it was.
Oh man! Anyway, and of course, going even further back to November 6th, 1980, that's one of the historic moments in personal computing history, where Microsoft, a young Bill Gates, signs a contract with IBM to create an operating system for their new IBM PC. Do you want to tell our listeners who might not know what a momentous occasion or incident this was?
Yeah, of course. I mean, this is pretty much the one thing that really made what the company that we call Microsoft now. I mean, everything that Microsoft is today can all be traced back to this one particular incident. If you are to write a time travel story about the sky, getting rid of Skynet or something, you would actually send somebody back to this date to put a bullet into Bill Gates' head or something.
And of course, as outcome of that, millions of people would be still affected by malaria, but let's not get into that.
Yeah, so yeah, it is a momentous date. I mean, it may completely change the
computing landscape. Yeah, but again, though IBM used to make its own PC DOS, they asked Microsoft to bundle its to come up with the OS. Microsoft didn't actually create a DOS. They went and acquired an existing operating system and they simply just renamed it, right? I mean, they just kind of built on top of it.
They just acquired
The name of the other one, but even the other company was in Redmond, and they simply just bought over
there. That and then rebranded it for the first version, but of course after that they started tweaking it internally, but the initial one that came out was actually just a clone of that other DOS, and it was just like rebranded version of it.
Was that DR DOS?
No, I don't think it was DR DOS. I think it was some other name.
And of course, I'm not sure if it was in the 1980 contract, but maybe subsequently, which led to the entire monopoly lawsuit, was that one of the, as part of this agreement with IBM, they said that even if IBM sells a PC which doesn't include MS-DOS, Microsoft would still get a royalty.
Yeah. But I think the whole antitrust thing came much decades later.
Yeah. That was during, when they, during 95, but they did cite this, that Microsoft had a long history of, giving it to their computers. We can spend probably an entire podcast talking about this incident and how its impact on the on tech history, but let's not do that. We can probably call this episode to a close. Hopefully we'll have, I don't see much tech happening right now, much news, but anyway, we should be back soon, and we'll keep you up to date with what's happening. Is there anything happening, anything expected to happen in the tech world in the near future?
Week, 10 days? No, I think one thing I'm expecting is the official reviews of both the Xbox Series X and PlayStation 5 to come out. Right now, we have only been, I think because unboxings. Of the embargo, they have only been showing unboxing videos and some brief reviews of the new DualSense controller of PlayStation 5, which actually I have been quite impressed with. The whatever I've seen in the reviews, but I'm looking forward to the actual gameplay reviews and stuff. It should start trickling out, maybe in the next week or so. But I think being what they call as Techtober, I'm sure there are some other things we are missing, and we'll have a few more announcements coming up in the next few days.
I am sure of it. So yeah, we will keep you up to speed with all those reviews as and when they come. We'll discuss all of that. So thanks for listening, and until next time, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.